Hello, and welcome to the HR Means Business podcast, which is part of the HR Happy Hour Network. I'm your host, Mervyn Dinner, and today I want to talk about something which I think is increasingly important, and that's about EVP and the link between EVP and retention and engagement. I'm speaking this morning to Kat Bernardes, who is with Lace Partners, who has recently been doing quite a bit of work in this area, and I'm interested to find out what she has uncovered. So, Kat, would you like to introduce yourself and tell people a bit about your background and your current role?
Absolutely, Mervyn. Thank you very much for having me on. So, I'm Kat Bernardes. I'm the People Experience Director at Lace Partners. For those who may not have heard of us, we're a small consultancy focusing on really working with HR teams to improve how they operate, the technology that they use, and how we create amazing people experiences. And we partner to really just make sure that experiences for all employees are amazing. I have been with Lace just over a year. I joined because I was very passionate about people experience, and it's a direction that they wanted to kind of go in, focusing on that area. I've spent the best part of my career in HR transformations of all scales and sizes in global organizations, but in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, really focusing on the people experience and how we can help organizations put their people at the heart of what they're doing.
Experience in all the discussions I have at the moment is coming out as, I suppose, one of the key priorities because of the link with retention and engagement. And I know you've recently been working with a few companies around their EVP and looking at things like how it shapes candidate and employee expectations. So I suppose to help people listening who aren't sure what I mean, firstly, what is EVP? How would you define it, and how would you define the role it plays in both attraction and then retaining the people you need?
Great question. So I think the EVP for me is really the promise or the deal that you're making with people, with prospective candidates, with existing employees about what your organization is going to offer in return for them coming to work for you and giving you their all. So it's the things both tangible and intangible, like everyone thinks of it normally, typically in terms of pay and benefits and reward, etc. But it's also the culture that you create. It's the opportunities that you give them to grow their career. It's the way that you enable them to be themselves when they come to work, for example. And for me, it's really important to make sure that the EVP that you put out into the market and you talk to candidates about and that you promise internally is aligned then with that expectation is then aligned with the experience they get when they come to work for you, the reality of working in your organization. And when there's a mismatch between the two, and when you promise something that you then don't actually fulfill when they are working for you, that's when you start to get trouble with productivity and engagement. Because people realize that's not the reality.
So who's responsible for EVP? I mean, I suppose it's an expression that I've known for a number of years now, and it's, recruiters talk about it, talent acquisition talks about it, in-house recruitment, L&D talk about it, HR talk about it. Who would you say is responsible, and who owns the communication of it?
I think it's a collective across HR, but also across the business, because, if you think about who actually enables the EVP to come to life and the experience, a huge proportion of that is actually down to line managers and business leaders themselves, not just HR, who, yes, play a vital role in actually how you package the EVP up and how you think about it and articulate it to your candidates. So it's a combination of the two, really. And so, while we've been talking to organisations recently about how they create their EVP, we've been really trying to encourage that early collaboration between the business and HR to think about it together, so that when they are then determining how they're going to communicate, and there's a strong responsibility of the talent acquisition function, for example, to make sure that recruiters are talking EVP language, that the marketing and the employer branding that goes out there is sort of reflective of that EVP. But that's just the shiny path, the shiny sort of ribbon that's put around it. how managers internally are talking about it to their employees and how leaders are role modeling and demonstrating the EVP coming to life, I think is actually really important. So it's not an easy answer to say a single role or single function owns EVP. I think it's a collective, really, and that makes it quite tricky, actually, in reality, to make it come to fruition.
I should imagine it is, because, again, it's perspectives, and different people across the business might have different perspectives on exactly what it is and what the offering is. So in the work you've done with organizations over the last year or two, what kind of differences have you been finding between, I suppose, the promised EVP and the lived reality of employees once they've joined?
I think a lot of the time, it's in actually the transparency in how the EVP is communicated in the first place. So it's absolutely fine to be ambitious in your EVP and to say that you're going to deliver and promise people a particular experience that you can't fulfill right now. But it's about being really transparent around that and saying this is a journey that we're going on and that this is where we intend to get to over time. And these are the things that we're doing to put in place to make that experience better, to fulfill that promise that we're making. And a lot of organizations will put an EVP out there that is ambitious. And then in reality, they aren't there yet in terms of the real experience, but they don't communicate that very well. And so they may get there in a year or 2 years' time, but they don't explain that to employees. And that's where there's often a mismatch, because they might have plans to fulfill it, but right now that, you know, it feels to the employee like that isn't there. So I think a lot of it's around that transparency, being really clear about what to expect and when you're going to get it, but also about really bringing to life the reality, you know, the reality of what it's like to work there in an authentic way, and not just about it being on paper something that looks good, but showing real tangible examples of how that EVP is brought to life.
I'm sure that in the work you do, you see many people get it wrong. so this isn't the name and shame question or anything like that. But I suppose what are the common mistakes that you see businesses make? I suppose both defining it internally and then communicating it.
I think one of the things is actually just to your point at the beginning is what is an EVP and being really clear on that definition, because a lot of organizations get a bit confused between employer branding and EVP and the employee experience. And we sort of think about it typically as a bit of a Venn diagram. And so they all interconnect and have to join up and talk to each other and link. But really, your EVP is the thing that sits at the heart of it in terms of the both internal and external way that you talk about the promise that you're making. The employer branding is purely the external view of how that comes to life. And the sort of employee experience is that reality component of it. And so I think a lot of the time it's actually organizations not being clear on what they really mean by EVP, and then not articulating it in a way that really resonates with their employees. And one of the things that we've spent quite a bit of time with some of our recent clients on is actually thinking of the EVP through the lens of different personas in the organization. So, you know, it's quite tricky to get an EVP that meets 100% of the needs of your employee base, right? Everyone's very different. You might have people different, you know, frontline workers versus people working in sort of more of an office environment. But there is a way to identify an EVP that can fulfill the majority of the needs and then work out with those different personas, what do you need to dial up and dial down to really bring to life for them what it means. And I think that's another element that a lot of organizations we've seen haven't really got their heads around yet, and are still doing some work on really understanding how do you dial up and dial down the EVP for those different personas within your organization.
Yeah, you made an interesting reference there to hourly workers, because some of the discussions I've had recently, it has brought home to me how the I won't say the blue collar, but the hourly worker experience is actually becoming very important. Mm-hmm. And historically they've been seen differently from the permanent workforce, I suppose. But this is becoming a key thing. So looking at the internal discussions then, because you might have people responsible, obviously, for different parts of the business. What are the internal discussions? Firstly, around EVP, but who should be having these discussions? And I suppose who should be leading them or initiating them?
Do you mean specifically for those sort of more frontline workers or just more broadly?
No, I threw in the frontline workers because you mentioned them, just more broadly. Obviously, and it's interesting. I mean, yeah, we can, I suppose, include the frontline workers as well, as because that might be, again, yeah, the acquisition of frontline or hourly workers might be a separate area of the business.
Yeah. So I think that it needs to be across the board, right? From the top, thinking about actually who are we trying to attract and retain? And is our EVP going to do that? You know, is it going to attract, maybe we've got some hot skills and some critical skills that we're looking for in the market. Is it going to be fulfilling their needs? Are we looking outward at what our potential candidates might want? Thinking from a holistic business perspective about what we're trying to achieve over the long term as part of our strategy, right down to actually listening to employees on the ground. And that's where, you know, some of those frontline conversations are important. They're a particularly hard sort of audience to hear from a lot of the time because of the nature of the way in which they work. And so if you can get a listening strategy right that really listens to the needs and the wants and the motivations of that workforce, and understanding, again, that sort of reality of what the experience is for them versus what they're expecting, then you can be very proactive in what you're doing around your EVP and your experience to make sure that you're meeting those needs. So I think it's across the business, you know, right up at the C-suite down to on the ground line managers, talking, listening, getting feedback from their people and feeding it back in.
Okay, the employee turnover and low engagement is obviously something we talk about a lot, and there's always, you know, kind of research coming out showing that, you know, great resignation, bare minimum Mondays, it's because people aren't engaged. So a lot of this is it's the gap between the promise and reality of the employee mm-hmm. experience for new hires. That's, I guess, one of the main drivers of this. So what can businesses do, I suppose, to minimize and eventually eradicate this gap? And in particular, I'm thinking of HR mm-hmm. people. Yeah, what can HR do? Because as we say, lots of different people own EVP. Lots of people, yeah. Different people own the employee experience. Are HR the people who've got to get heads together? Or bang heads together, or lead it, or you know, what's their role?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely think that HR need to lead the way, right? They are the function all about people, and at the end of the day, you know, this is all about people and bring those components together. So I 100% believe that HR need to be leading the charge in these conversations. And making sure that they take a collaborative approach to bringing in perspectives that help define the EVP and the experience. So, you know, we've worked with a number of organisations over the last couple of months around defining their EVP, and we've taken quite a collaborative approach to that, thinking about, you know, getting the employee line manager perspective, getting the leader perspective, getting the candidate's perspective and the recruiters as well, and thinking about how do you bring all of that together. So I think HR need to be continuously listening. I read a really interesting article the other day that quoted an anthropologist who said what people say, what people do, and what people say they do are completely different things, which actually makes it really hard for us to really know what is the right answer when we talk to people about what they want and what they need from work. And therefore, I think we need a multi-channel approach. I think HR need to be at the centre of that, listening to people, you know, using data and insights and gathering that from the existing systems they have or from engagement surveys, et cetera, to be able to look holistically at all of those components to figure out where have we got a challenge, because what we've promised people out in the world is X, what we're delivering them is Y. How do we bridge that gap and put something in place in a rapid way to sort of solve for that?
Yeah. What you said just now reminded me of that old, there's three sides to every argument. There's what each side says and what actually happened.
Yeah.
I would be remiss having a conversation with you in the summer of 2023 if I didn't mention the remote, flexible, hybrid, asynchronous working debate. Yeah. opportunities for this. And yeah, as whenever I mention this in any discussion, I say, yes, and I know that it is a minority of the workforce who can do this, mm-hmm. that it's only kind of 42-43% who are able to do this. Yeah. Has this become, in what you've seen, I mean, it's become, most of the data I've seen shows it's much more influential when attracting talent. And there's research come out the US to a couple of conferences I was at over there recently about, you know, people having choice and agency in how, when and where they work is important to engagement and retention. Is this a game changer for EVP as well?
I think, to be honest, it's just becoming a hygiene factor. It's one of the first things that candidates will look at now, you know, alongside all the standard stuff around, you know, pay and benefits and what the role actually is. They'll be looking for whether they can work flexibly. I think it's just hygiene. And I think that, you know, every single EVP we've developed in the last year has got it in there, but it's not a differentiator anymore, I think is the difference. You know, before COVID, flexible working was seen as a differentiator, and now it's really not. And I think that organizations have to just get on board with that and figure out the best way for their business to make that happen for the people that they can. And as you said, it's not possible for everybody. So I don't believe that it's necessarily a game changer in the sense of needing to differentiate yourself differently. I think it's just a hygiene factor now that most organizations need to figure out how they're going to offer that in the most effective way they can.
Okay. We're coming to the, I suppose, towards the end of the discussion. And I suppose it's one of the things we've covered quite a few areas here. And one of the things that I suppose I'm exploring at the moment is around this cycle of engagement to do with kind of, you know, engagement, productivity, well-being. And what's, again, the link between EVP and kind of, yeah, engagement and productivity, which is obviously what most organizations are seeking to have.
I mean, we use a simple equation that if your EVP is, if your experience is greater than or equal to your EVP, then you're going to get good engagement and high productivity. Because if people know what the promise is, and when they come, they feel that promise being brought to life in their day-to-day jobs and the way that they work, then you're going to get higher engagement and productivity because people are getting what they expected. And if not, being actually delighted sometimes in the experience that they receive when they work with you. We've seen it time and time again, as you said, through research, that there's a really intrinsic link between experience and engagement and productivity. And therefore, you know, it makes sense that if your EVP is the promise of that experience, then that's, you know, that's why you need to get it right in terms of how you're positioning your EVP, making sure that you're really clear about what's ambition versus what is reality today and what you're delivering today, and setting those expectations up early. So that you get that engagement.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It's about understanding it, and it's about, I suppose, understanding how people live it. Mm-hmm. And it's being honest internally about the reality. Kat, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I've really enjoyed the conversation, and I hope we've been able to maybe put out a few things for HR people listening to this to have a think about. Thank you for your time. And I personally look forward to speaking to you again sometime in the future. And how can people reach you or connect with you?
It's been a pleasure. And they can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just look up Kat Bernardes. I don't think there's too many of us in the world. You should be able to find me relatively easily. But feel free to connect on LinkedIn. Looking forward to speaking again in the future.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks.